Dermot and Dave.
Conversation, crack,
and the music you love.
Today FM.
It all happens here.
Today FM.
Allergies are on our mind because, you know, when summer comes, be it sunshine or be it hay fever, they're all affecting us in different ways. And hay fever, nosebleeds, and developing allergies later in life is also a thing. Suffering with them can be very unpleasant. We're joined this morning by our resident allergy expert, Iseult Sheehan from Allergy Ireland. Good morning, Iseult.
Hi, you guys. How are you?
Are my kids superheroes?
Yeah, I'm going to say they're superheroes. You're not a wuss.
Okay. Excellent.
Yeah. Look, with the weather we're having, it seems like the right place to start, Dr. Iseult. There is a question that's come in about it. But I mean, in general, I suppose a general question about being allergic to heat or being allergic to the sun. Are they actually things?
Yeah, I suppose, look, when the weather's really nice, the pollen count is up. And so, you know, some people experience hay fever symptoms, but other people can be sort of photosensitive. So in the sunlight, they can find themselves suppose Irish skin can often get quite red in the sun. And some people experience like heat rash, so very itchy, sort of uncomfortable bumps on the skin as well.
And what is that? Is that literally an allergic reaction to heat, or is it something else?
No, it's often just that, like, some people are a bit more predisposed to being, to getting heat rash. But if you're putting on a lot of sun cream, because you have Irish skin, I suppose, you're putting on a load of sun cream to protect yourself from the sun. It's blocking up a lot of the pores, and then you're sweating as well. And so if all the pores are blocked up, it's sort of actually keeping some of the heat in. So it's important to make sure that you're showering frequently. You still use sun cream, but you want to use the sort of more like the non-oil based sun creams.
Yes,
so that you allow your body to release heat and sweat normally.
Yeah. Someone says, it happens every time this rash, I go out in the sun, it starts out like little water blisters and then turns to dry, scaly skin, really itchy the whole time. I mean, is that something you'd heard of?
Yeah, that's a little bit different to your typical sort of heat rash, actually. I suppose some people are going to be a little more sort of allergic to the sun, and that sounds a little more like an allergy, actually. Really, unfortunately, a bit like a lot of allergies, it's avoidance as much as possible. So wearing hats, keeping, you know, staying in the shade, sun cream, that sort of thing.
Yeah, and seasonal eczema, is that something that you've heard of, that maybe actually this person could be suffering from that it's actually a form of eczema if it's itchy?
Yeah, so if you already have an underlying sort of predisposition to having eczema, so oftentimes that might go hand in hand with an allergy, for example, to grass pollen, then when you're exposed to what you're allergic to, eczema will start to flare up. So in the summertime, you'll see a lot of people finding that they have flare-ups of eczema, or even asthma might flare up during that time, even though it's not your typical sort of hay fever symptoms.
Okay. We were talking about people sponsoring kids' football teams and their journeys, and Owen in Leash has a question and says, can you ask Dr. Iseult, is it possible the kids can be allergic to AstroTurf? Our eldest on occasion while training on it gets headaches, red blotches and feels sick, but 10 or 20 minutes after he would clear up. Please, any help would be great. He loves training and this is really getting to him.
Do you know, I've not come across that actually before. So I'm not really sure is the answer to that. It definitely sounds like something that should be properly looked at, though, and investigated.
Yeah.
So I'd absolutely recommend that he go to his GP or to an allergy clinic and talk through it, because there could be a little more to that story. And like he said, I mean, the last thing you want is the child not being able to participate in sports.
Yeah, and those kind of commercial grade Astro things, like I have Astro Turf in the back garden instead of grass, but the commercial grade ones have those little black kind of plastic pellets on them that act a little bit like sandwood on a grass pitch. And maybe there's something in that rather than the actual Astro Turf itself. But again, as you said, an investigation definitely needed.
I think, yeah, it's worth talking through that case, especially when there's a bit of nausea in that as well. Like, so it's not just simply the irritation from the surface on the skin. So yeah, definitely worth looking at that one.
A lot of people talking to us, Iseult, about sort of developing allergies as they get older. For instance, here's one saying, why am I becoming allergic to more things as I get older? I become allergic to strawberry in my 20s, kiwis in my 30s, and now bananas. Is there anything I can do about it? Would that have something to do with, I don't know, maybe our weakening immune system as we get older?
Like, it shouldn't really be a weakening of our immune system. But, like, we're either born with a sort of vulnerability to developing allergic disease or not. And allergic disease can present at any time in life. I mean, we more frequently see it in childhood and maybe your teen years, but any allergy can sort of show itself at, like, any time, I suppose, throughout our lives. Sometimes, and I think we touched on this on one of the other sessions, but sometimes, just after sort of a big change in hormones for a woman, that can sort of allow an allergy to sort of start to show itself. So puberty, pregnancy time, or perimenopausal time, we'll see a lot of people start to develop those sort of symptoms. But when this, your caller has mentioned strawberry, kiwi, banana, I'd also wonder there, is there actually maybe an underlying allergy, like a pollen allergy going on, because like tree or grass pollen allergy, because there can often be this cross reaction that occurs. And that can make you think that you're allergic to certain foods because you develop some symptoms, like it's called oral allergy syndrome, where you develop like itching and tingling in your mouth and that sort of thing after eating certain foods. But it's not like a true allergy, it's a slightly different one. It's because of your pollen allergy. And so trying to get control of the pollen allergy will help that.
We seem to be losing your voice a little bit. If you wouldn't mind just trying to get in as close to your mic as you possibly can, Iso, because you've got valuable information here to give us.
Actually, there's a couple of texts in from people who, for example, are coming up with little ways of improving the scenario that they face with their allergy. Somebody says, I make elderflower cordial every summer. It's amazing for hay fever. And I know you spoke to us before about a little bit of that kind of exposure therapy can work. But what about peanut allergies? Is that something that you can expose yourself to?
Dave has one, obviously.
Because a couple of people are talking about them this morning, and obviously they can be quite severe. So is there any way you can lessen the allergy in terms of peanuts?
Yeah, so when it comes to food allergies such as peanut allergy, it's obviously much more severe and there's a risk of anaphylaxis. And so it's really important that those people who are allergic to peanut, that they avoid peanuts and they carry their adrenaline pens with them. There are studies at the moment, and we're beginning to in the hospitals in Ireland, beginning to start some trials where we're giving very, very tiny quantities of peanut to patients to try to, I suppose, allow them to tolerate minuscule amounts of it. It's not that they'll overcome the allergy, but that it will mean that if they accidentally were exposed or ate some peanut, that they're not going to have anaphylaxis to it. So that's something that's sort of in the works, I suppose. But from the point of view of, immunotherapy for grass pollen, for example, where we know it's safe to expose someone to the grass pollen, and we would definitely not be advising people to take small quantities of peanut at home.
Yeah, okay.
I love these ones. Mary says, if I eat too many raw sugar snapped peas, I get an itchy roof of my mouth. Does that mean I'm allergic? I would suggest to stop eating so many raw sugar snapped peas.
How many is too many?
Yeah.
Can you have an allergy to your own tears, Dr. Riesold? When I cry, my eyes puff up and get itchy and sore for hours afterwards. The text.
No, you shouldn't be. You shouldn't be allergic to your own tears. No, I think I'd imagine if you're crying for a long time, it's just causing some irritation maybe to the eyes.
Try some exposure therapy, cry a little bit and then stop, and then a little bit
crying,
and then stop.
Yeah. The less crying, the better.
What if they're crying about how little sugar snap peas they can eat? Someone says, I have a nickel allergy. I know our Maria on the team here has a nickel allergy as well. She has to be careful what kind of jewellery she wears. But this person asks, will I be okay to get a hip replacement which has nickel in it if it's inside my body and not on the outside?
Yeah, actually, that's a good question. We do patch testing where we test for different metals that people can be allergic to. Prior to having a surgery, it's important to actually mention to your surgeon that you do have an allergy to whichever metal it is. Because they'll actually make a decision to use a different version of the prosthetic hip or whatever it is. Same for dental procedures as well.
Another one here, sorry, and it says, why do I always get bitten and my partner doesn't? Yeah, are some people just more tasty to insects?
I know, I always thought that that was it. But actually, it seems that we all get bitten equally, the same amount. But some people just don't show a reaction, and some people are a little bit allergic and some people show a reaction. So if you have 10 bites, the person next to you also has 10 bites. They're just not showing.
Just they don't see them. And my daughter gets recurring sores on her tongue, right at the tip. Itchy first, and then a crack, sometimes to the point of bleeding. We think it's related to acidic fruit. Is this possible, and what can I do about it?
Yeah, that's another one that I would actually recommend going to a doctor about, because you just want to make sure there's nothing else going on that's underlying and causing the sort of sores on the mouth. Sometimes having a dry mouth can make you a bit more vulnerable to having sores in the mouth, or mouth breathing actually at night can be another one. So making sure that there's nothing else going on, like I suppose hay fever, that sort of thing.
Yeah. That could be a virus.
Acidic fruit, I mean, look. Yeah, well, that's it, exactly. It could easily be a virus. Like, there are definitely a lot of things that could cause it. Acidic fruit, yeah, it might exacerbate it, but it shouldn't really cause your skin to break down. You know, we should be able to eat acidic fruit.
Yeah.
So, yeah, definitely something to talk about to the doctor, to your GP.
Someone says, lads, I think I'm allergic to alcohol. Every time I drink a lot of it, I don't feel well the next day. We don't need a doctor to tell us that's a bad idea.
Actually, we got a few emails about kids and nosebleeds. You know the way some kids, I know mine are all the same, around kind of that age, 7 to 10, suddenly they're talking to you and suddenly their nose just starts bleeding and you're like, are you doing cocaine? Is that something that is allergy related, or is it, you know, it's just something that sort of happens to kids and we just sort of accept it?
It can be either or. So you mentioned like exactly that stage in childhood where you're growing a lot, the little vessels inside the nose are also growing and they're quite close to the surface. And so it makes you more vulnerable to having nosebleeds. But also, I suppose, if you also have an allergy as well, there's going to be irritation inside the nose. So it makes you more vulnerable to bleeding, but also, you know, you want to be itching the nose a fair bit more as well. So a child who's sort of itching the nose a lot or picking at the nose, they're going to be more vulnerable to having bleeds as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we'll just tell them to get their fingers out of their noses.
Dr. Easel Sheehan, allergy specialist with Allergy Ireland. Thank you so much for joining us, and visit allergy-ireland.ie for more information. Dr. Easel, thank you so much as always.
Thanks a million. Lovely to talk to you.
See you later. Bye-bye.
Dermot and Dave. Weekdays from 9 a.m. Today.